Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
We are not looking at the weather, but we are getting close to summertime. Here we are, May 31st. We're on the precipice of June. And some pretty amazing things can grow over the summer. I don't know what you look forward to. I look forward to BC peaches. We're going to be distracted a little this morning, aren't we? Later in the summer, Tabor corn. Now, I do not believe in Catholic corn. What I mean by that is sprinkling with butter. Full immersion. Full immersion. Some people look forward to fresh peas from the garden. Raspberries are growing. We discovered last year in our front yard, had no idea. We used to call our tree Charlie because it was a Charlie Brown little tree when we moved into our house 6 years ago. It was a little tree. Who knew? It's a pear tree. The absolute worst pears in the history. I don't know if it's a first year thing or whatever, but they're terrible. Anyway, we are hopeful. You know what else grows over the summer? Kids. Have you ever seen it, graduating or ending the school year in June and then in September? It's like, what happened? Some things about growing, you really want to provide the right conditions. And sometimes we blame the conditions if something didn't grow. Too much rain, not enough rain. It's too hot, it's not hot enough. Too much shade, not enough shade. Sometimes we go and we buy plants for our front yard in the back and they have little tags in them and they say, you can't put them in direct sunlight. Or must be in direct sunlight. That's not all we buy. I don't know, a couple years ago, maybe more, Audrey said, we got to buy dirt. I said, what? We got to buy dirt. So off to the store, I don't know how many bags of dirt we bought, which isn't the craziest thing in the world, because at one time we had a garden, and she said, we need to go buy something that has come from a cow. And I thought, you have a gift of sales if you can sell cow manure and make a profit. I've been thinking about our church, and I've been thinking about church growth. Usually the May long weekend is the marker where our church attendance goes down. And then after Labor Day, and I don't fault people for being away, and we only have such a limited time. To enjoy outside all that, be away. But I'd like our church to grow this summer. And I'd like, we pastored years ago a church called Church on the Way, one of our four square churches in Van Nuys, California. And in the class, he was talking about the growth of Church on the Way. It was just a handful of people that became, at that time when he was talking, I think over 10,000 people. And he said this, and this stuck with me. He said, we never set out to build a big church. We set out to build big people. It wasn't about the size of the church. It was about the growing the person, not the organization, not the church, not how many sheep can you get into the pen. It was about growing the people. So when I talk about church growth for this summer, and as we give some thought to June, July, and August, I'm talking about our church growing, both us as individuals and us as a church family. We're going to be in the book of Thessalonians in just a moment. But it's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, he seems to have an affection and affinity for a particular church, some pleasure. In fact, he boasts about the church a little bit. It's kind of like a proud parent who with their kid at a music recital. Hey, that's mine. See that third trumpet over there? That's my kid. Or parents watching kids on a soccer field with not, oh no, that was our own net. No, but no, that's my boy. That's my daughter. And it's like that. It's that kind of attitude that we see creep into his letters to this church in a place called Thessalonica. And he commends them for their growth, the growth that is taking place. We're not going to look at Acts chapter 17, but it is in Acts chapter 17 where Paul will plant the church. He had been in a place in Acts chapter 16 called Philippi. He was thrown into prison there. The man named Silas or Silvanus, sometimes his name is used. And he is in prison. There's a whole lot of shaking that goes on. Gets out of prison, and from Philippi he will go to a place called Thessalonica. While he's in Thessalonica, he is preaching. They're preaching the word, and it says a great multitude of people come to Christ. But the Jewish people there are not happy about that, and they incite a mob. And Paul and Silas leave Thessalonica. They show up at a place called Berea. And in Berea, they begin to share God's word again. And the Jews will, in one of these places it says the Jews go to the marketplace and find some people of I think it's in disrepute, their character, some ruffians. And they incite this mob to attack Paul and Silas. Anyway, they got out of Thessalonica okay. They went at night and got over to Berea. But it's this church in Thessalonica that I want to talk to you about. Paul's already written one letter to them. He wanted to see how they're doing. Because, you remember, he planted the church there. And I mean, he had to get out of town. There was persecution. And he writes this letter, 1 Thessalonians, to them. Checks in on them. And he hears the good report. We're okay. We're doing okay. And this is what he writes. So we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians, verse 1 of chapter 1. That's the context. He's writing back to them now. Second letter, he's already heard they're doing well. Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so much more than just a beginning greeting. Listen to these words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many times that's my heart to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says this. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting. And this is what he's heard. Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Love what it says, how the New Living Translation we'll render this. Look at what it says. We're going to read it again, the same verses. New Living Translation says this. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now listen, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Flourishing faith and growing love. That's what I'm talking about this morning. As we look into these summer months, that our church, we would have flourishing faith and growing love. Faith that is flourishing, it means a faith that is growing. It is increasing greatly. It's not just a little. When I think about faith and faith increasing, I'm not just thinking about believing and you got to have more faith. I'm thinking about trust in God's. Another word for faith is trust. That our trust in him would grow. And would grow very, very deeply. I wonder if it's this that Jesus was talking about when he talked about the mustard seed. Do you remember he said if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. It can grow. I think the strength of that illustration when he said that. It's not look at what it is now. But look at the potential that it has. See, because Jesus never commended little faith. He wasn't saying, oh, the mustard seed, that's all you know. How great that is, just leave it there. Because regularly we would hear him say, oh, ye of little faith. And it wasn't a commendation, it was a condemnation. Your faith shouldn't still be so little. Have I been with you so long? But when Jesus said, if you've got faith the size or the grain of a mustard seed, he's not saying how great it is that it's so little. He's saying, look at the potential. It can grow. We need a growing and an increasing faith. And I wonder if we would be able to see that take place at Cornerstone Church collectively and in our lives this summer, June, July, and August, that our faith would grow, that our faith would flourish. Peter will tell us this in 2 Peter, verses 5 through 8. But also for this very reason, he'll say, giving all diligence. Pay attention. Giving all diligence. Don't neglect this. It has to be intentional. It's not accidental. Diligence. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Persevere, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, love. And Peter will say, for if these things are yours and abound, it's this increase, this abounding, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will have the ability to produce life wherever you go because it's abounding and growing. Faith, little faith, is a starting place. But God wants our faith to flourish, to grow, and grow in love. And I love how the verse said everyone. It didn't say everyone, as in everyone, everyone. Everyone, everyone, your love is growing, is abounding. The word means become more and more, cause to increase, be in abundance. And listen to this, this is the last definition of it. Have more than enough. Wouldn't it be something to have more than enough love for one another? I heard for an hour and a half yesterday about more than enough love in the life of Annie Ma. As just came and heard over and over stories and saw so many people that Annie's life touched. It was clear that she loved people. I said to Audrey as we left the service and reflected on it, I said, what's your takeaway? She said to love people. That Annie just so loved people. However, the Apostle Paul, when he writes, we discover that this church in Thessalonica, and you would know it if we had gone back to Acts 16 and 17 and 18, we would know that it's not the perfect condition for a growing church. We would discover that they are in a time of persecution. Watch what it says. I'm going to read verse 3 and then into verse 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. That's where we stopped. Now watch. So that we ourselves boast of you. There's the proud parent. Perfect, and it's easy to follow Christ. This was the place where they were inciting a riot, inciting a mob because he was in town. This was the place they had sent people from Philippi to chase him down. The summary of Paul's statement here is you're growing and I'm proud of you in the midst of your suffering. And I know in a room this size, there are people who are suffering, that we have struggles, that we have heartaches, that we have sorrows, that everything isn't just this perfect greenhouse environment for our faith. And Paul will go on to say that the summary is I'm proud of you even in the midst of your suffering. And then he'll say, you know, those who are persecuting you, God will repay those when Christ comes back. He's going to make all things right. He'll straighten it all out. But until then, he essentially says, keep living life and glorifying God. Keep living your life in a way that glorifies God. See, the Christian life is not what you go through. It's how you go through it. And that's not very comforting. Right? Oh, good. It's not what you go through, it's how you go through it. To have a flourishing faith and a growing love is, listen, and this isn't a cheery thought either. It's not about your environment, it's about your attitude. Flourishing faith and growing love is not about our environment, it's about our attitude. There is no guarantee of the avoidance of hard things and disappointments, of sorrows, of suffering, of persecution, but there is a guarantee of his presence. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. There is a guarantee of his presence in it all. And sometimes when we're praying for God's provision, God, I need your help, I need your strength, I need this, this situation is crushing me. Sometimes his provision is not escape, sometimes his provision is endurance. I will give you the strength to endure. We like the escape, but he is working in us a greater measure of glory. When you walk through the water, you won't drown. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. It's his promise. He is a very present help in trouble. He still is Emmanuel, God with us. A couple weeks ago, our national convention for Canada was in Halifax. And during that convention, as we were in a time of worship, we were singing a song. And we've sung it here. There's a line that we repeat, sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemy, sing a little louder. And it's just this sing a little louder, and people are singing louder. And as I was in that worship moment, I felt like the Lord just was speaking to me for our convention body. And I went and talked to the person who you talked to about giving prophetic words. And I wasn't sure if it fit or not. And she said, I think it's a good word. What do you want to do with it? And I said, I just want you to know if I come to you, that's what I'm going to share, you know, so I don't want to try and unpack it at the moment if it happens. And it didn't. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to share it with our church. I'll see if there's a window there. It was in the middle of that song, sing a little louder. There's a verse in Zephaniah 3:17 that says this: the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God is in your midst, mighty one to save. He'll rejoice over you. He will quiet you in his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me that there are people who can't hear God singing. He's in our midst, but we can't see him. He's speaking, but we can't hear him. And I felt like that song, Sing a Little Louder, that there was hope in that for us to be able to make that our prayer. God, sing a little louder. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. God, would you sing a little louder and let me hear your song singing over me, because the Lord God is in your midst. It means he's in the middle of it with you. Whatever you're facing, he doesn't leave you. He doesn't abandon you. He's right there in the midst of it with you. And if you can't hear him, make it your prayer and simply say, God, sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. And I love that phrase in Zephaniah. It says, he will quiet you in your love. Because sometimes we think, man, it's just got to be up to us. We got to sing a little louder. We got to dig deeper. And it was just like, he will quiet you in his love. And God, would you sing a little louder? So we can hear the song of hope, so we can hear the song of victory, so we can hear the song of courage, so we can hear the song of perseverance, so we can hear the song of endurance. God, that you're singing over us, that we have hope. We're never, never alone. In this world, you'll have tribulations, but don't fear, I've overcome the world. So some friends last night, we talked about that verse. And that verse where it says, in this world you have tribulations, it means this: to be pulled apart on the inside. And so, sometimes this world just rips us up. There are pains and sorrows that touch us, that we're pulled apart on the inside. So in this world you have tribulations, but don't fear. He has overcome the world. And he has a peace for us that passes all understanding. Not a peace that this world gives, does he give that to us, but he gives us peace in the midst of the storm. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift. Sometimes we say, I could never go through that. When we hear about other people's lives, I could never go through that. Loved ones, lots of times we don't get a choice. We don't get a choice. But we can either get bitter or we can get better. I met with a man, and I cannot fathom these words, because when we got news that his daughter had been killed, tragic car accident. We went to the funeral. young woman, she was married. Just taken. It's probably 10 years later, I met with Tim. And he said, Barry, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. Chris is Tim and Jean. Said, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but I'm so glad God put me through this. Because he needed to work on me. He wasn't thankful his daughter died, anything. It's not so twisted. But the experience that he had with the Lord in the storm, in the fire, he said, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And he knows I will see Andrea again. Hope and confidence. But the depth of walking through that with the Lord, I have no words. They were his words, and I was so overwhelmed. I don't know what your summer is going to look like. Summer in Canada, I don't know if it's going to be rainy or sunshiny or hot or snowing, and that's all in one day. But I want to come out of the summer on the other side being able to look at one another and say, my, how you've grown. My, how your faith has flourished. My, how your love for one another has grown. I don't know if your summer's going to be busy. I don't know if you're going to have time off work. I don't know if you're looking for work. But I'm trusting that the Lord will give us opportunities to increase our faith. And it will be directly related to our attitude. And that we'll be able to nurture love for one another. It's a commit. Love is more than a commitment and a choice. Love is more than a feeling and a passion. It's a commitment and a choice. And so would you choose to love people in these next 3 months? Now, I don't know that I could love Audrey more. Aw. But I'll tell you what, I could serve her more. There could be some more action to my love. John 3:16, in a moment we're going to close. 1 John 3:16 says this, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren or for one another. And that's how we can show love, by serving one another. I think serving one another is a great way to show love and let that grow. My goal is by the end of the summer, as we come back, and this isn't just for you, this is for me too, that my faith would have increased. I was going to say I haven't arrived, but that's clear. I want my faith to grow, my trust, and I want my love for you to grow as well, for every one of us to grow, that there's more than enough love to go around. You will find here a world full of love. You are welcome, you are wanted, you are loved, and you belong. May our faith flourish, and may our love grow. So God, we come to you looking at your word in this church in Thessalonica, who Paul was worried about, sent the first letter. You guys okay? I had to leave in a hurry. And yet, God, your word had taken root. Your word was planted, and it took root. And they grew. And they grew in a very challenging and difficult environment, a hostile environment, persecutions, tribulations. But they grew. So much that he could boast about their faith and their love for one another, their faith in you that flourished in these adverse conditions. God, I pray, we pray that our faith might grow. Oh God, even just somewhere where it seems like it's a tough slug, it's hard. The trusting, the believing, maybe it's been so long and it's just seemed so rock hard to break through anything and grow in our faith. God, I pray just the picture of just a flower breaking through the concrete or the mountainside where it's just all rock and you see a tree growing out of the side of that. How did that happen? God, would you miraculously let our faith grow? Even in hard places, even in hard things and challenges, God, we pray that our faith would grow, increase, flourish. Let this just be a summer of flourishing faith. And God, we want to be those that Paul could look at and just say, hey, proud of you. Your love is growing, abounding for one another. God, help us to let our love be real and sincere and authentic. That even though when we have challenges with one another, love covers a multitude of sins. Love is patient and kind, long-suffering. Doesn't rejoice when iniquity happens, when sin happens. God, may our love for one another grow, and may it be evident as new people come, as visitors come through our church during these summer months. God, may it be evident that we are yours because of the love that we have for one another. They'll know we're yours. Well, they'll know we are your disciples because of our love for one another. God, may it grow. Flourish in faith, grow in love. At Cornerstone Church, may it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.